Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Jess, what a week it has been for the show and, for yourself. We were very, very lucky for you to tell us your very exciting news as a surprise this
week. I thought you were talking about Franz Ferdinand yesterday.
No, that was pretty cool. But something, dare I say, cooler than both of those things.
Yeah, look, it felt like a very fitting week to announce that I am pregnant because it's Mother's Day this weekend.
Yes.
This will technically be my almost Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's the from now on, like, you'll have a little baby. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, it's a boy, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So you're going to have, at least from now on, like starting next Mother's Day, you'll have this little baby that's, you know, writing a card, doing all the drawings or getting assistance from
someone who's
potentially, like, you know, someone pretty important in your life.
Well, yeah, someone who's going to have to do that this year because my baby currently can't open his eyes. And
15 weeks old?
Yes.
15 weeks.
15
along.
Weeks. Not along. Yeah. He's not here
anyway,
yet.
Anyway, who's here, Jess?
It's my husband, Akshay.
Akshay, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Congratulations. I know I've said this to you many, many months ago now, but this is proof of, I guess, saying
it takes
it on
something,
the show.
Something big to bring Akshay into the studio. He's not a big fan of being on air.
Big Papa. How are you feeling? Like, obviously, you got to see Jess got to announce it. You've known it for a while. You were involved.
So he was there.
You were there.
I was there for some of it.
But it must be. How are you feeling with it all? Like, you're a couple of months in of realizing you're going to be a dad.
Yeah, first time dad that I know of, and it's. It's still quite surreal.
Yeah,
because I've never been so responsible for something, and it's just thinking about the joys and challenges and future responsibilities that are going to come up. Everything we do now, we think about the kid.
Yeah,
it's a new filter.
Which I haven't done before. Just been, you know, Jess and I, been cruising, and now it's a little one coming as well.
Oh, so I tell exciting. You what, Tim, the two people in this room right now are the only ones who really have copped all of my mood swings.
I argue I cop it more than you because she's awake at work longer than you're awake at home.
That's true, especially in the first trimester, yeah.
I copped the tail end of the tantrums, so thank you, Tim.
Tantrums!
You will also get a gift for Mother's Day.
Thank you very much. You are, I guess, no, we do joke, but everyone's first trimester is always a little bit different.
But pregnancy hormones are no joke. Like, Akshay can attest, he's found me in tears. He's found me in tears.
Oh, how else?
He's found me in tears. No, I've been like filled with rage 1 second and then like super loving and happy. Like every time I start crying, he's like, Patricia, she's joined us again. He's nicknamed my alter ego, Patricia.
Right. Well, Patricia kind of sounds like a toddler. I know that's still a way away from when your baby is born, but this is good practice. What is the most unique reason that Jess has cried that comes to memory?
Well, that's a good question. I've been keeping a list.
Yeah, it's been quite a lot. My favorite one is when she left bread in the office that she wanted to bring for me and she stood in the doorway and started crying and saying, "Don't leave me.
Don't leave me."
I was convinced he was going to divorce me because I forgot the bread for dinner.
Don't leave me.
Jessica.
Well, way to out all our secrets, Akshay. Jesus.
Okay. Well, is there anything over the next few months, like, because I for both of you at least, like, related to the show wise, I know, like, in your personal lives, like, there's lots you want to achieve, but what's something that, like, as a I'm going to add myself in here as a thruple that I can help you that I can help you both achieve before Jess takes her maternity leave a little bit later this year?
Oh.
I know it's hard. I've put you on the spot, but like, how can I? What can I do? And someone's listening, what can we do to help?
Each week, we will be revealing the fruit that my baby.
The fruit size. What day of the week?
Tuesday.
So every Tuesday will be it's fruit update. So that'll be exciting.
So as of Tuesday, I'll be 16 weeks, so we can do more.
All right.
Fruit. I don't know. Is there anything? If anyone wants to donate, baby. Well,
hang on. No, this is not offered. This is an opportunity for free shit.
You asked.
What is there anything I can do here at work for your lovely wife, Akshay, while she's, you know, now in her second trimester?
I haven't thought about that. I have told Jess while she's feeling better before she doesn't feel as good.
Well, yeah, because everyone says, Tim, that the first trimester, you're like, it's rough.
Yeah.
And it was. And then they're like, second trimester, you'll feel great. And I do. And then they're like, third trimester.
That's the kicker.
It'll come back. So just do everything you can in this next trimester because then you'll be exhausted again. So
you can't do it in the radio studio, but I wanted to go with Jess to little day trips here and there around regional Victoria. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to catch up with as many people individually as possible.
That's great. That's what I would advise. And this is just my experience, not everyone's experience, but I know you guys are in a similar situation to my wife and I, but we don't have a lot of immediate support around, mm-hmm. like family and those kind of things. The thing I'll suggest is go see movies. Like that is, I've seen four movies in 2 years.
That's, don't tell him that.
I don't
He's
even
gonna
know.
Gonna leave me.
I don't know if it's four. It might be two. I might be misremembering. So that's the only advice I will pass on.
I think we've seen two movies in a week. I have.
Well, you have.
I have, yeah.
A week?
And you were planning to go again today, weren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, Akshay, again, and we've been getting lots of messages from people that listen to the show.
Yes, thank you so much.
Not just for Jess, but for yourself as well. But we just wanted to get you in here and celebrate the very exciting news.
Thank you.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Jess, yesterday I brought something to you. I was a bit concerned. Mm-hmm. I was worried. I said, look, I am so shocked and rattled. I actually can't investigate this because I might get upset. And you're a detective. You have a journalism degree.
Yeah. You set me on what I'm going to call a wild goose chase, Tim.
Honk, honk. Okay. So we have a sweets jar here at the radio station. Yeah. And you bought like a fun pack of...
Yeah, it was a 50-pack of Milky Bars.
Yeah, so, and what we all love the Milky Bar. Obviously, it's like white chocolate, but the Milky Bar Kid, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Kevin Rudd in a cowboy hat, former Prime Minister. If you know, you know. If you don't, look it up. But I was rummaging because I obviously wanted one.
Of course.
And I couldn't find the Milky Bar Kid. So there was a little ginger boy.
Yes.
A little blonde girl.
And a cow.
And a cow. Yeah. And I was like, what's going on? I gave you the task. You said, give me 24 hours. What do we got, Jess?
Well, I initially did some research myself, and the Milky Bar Kid has been played by multiple different people across the years in different countries. So,
because it feels wrong that the Milky Bar Kid's not there, right?
Yeah. So it's undergone several transformations, including, you know, it went from being a physical kid to being just a cartoon character.
Okay.
And I think the cartoon is the one you remember.
The ads, yeah, kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
However, I did call Nestle.
Hilarious. So they're the overarching
The overarching company and behind Milky Bar.
You saw me rummaging through trying to find the Milky mm-hmm. Bar Kid, right?
Yeah, okay. I did. And you kept pulling out not one Milky Bar Kid. And so I called Nestle and I was on hold for about 10 minutes this morning.
Okay.
That's when you were like, who are you calling? I was like,
you were using a landline. I was like, what is this? What's going on here?
I didn't want to pay for the call.
Fair enough. If you're paying for your call now, revisit your plan.
And so I finally got onto the Nestle team.
Excellent.
And they put me through to the Milky Bar marketing team.
Excellent.
And I said, hey, just wanting to know what happened to the Milky Bar Kid. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I just bought a 50-pack of Milky Bars. We were rummaging through the packaging. There was no Milky Bar Kid. There was a little redhead, a little blonde girl, and a cow. And they said, we never got rid of the Milky Bar Kid. He's still on our packaging.
Right.
And so, again, I did some more digging.
Okay.
And he's advertised. If you go to Woolworths and Coles and you try and buy a packet of Milky Bars, he's on the front,
still on the front
of the bag.
Right.
So he's never left him. In fact, I went to the Milky Bar jar today and he was in there.
I went back.
You
to
hear that? You go on yourself.
Yesterday, it was right as the show ended. So the show ends at 6.
Mm-hmm.
show ends at. Funny. Can I just. Let's all have a laugh. Okay. So I. At the end of the show, I was like, I'm just going to go have another look just to see. Because maybe, like, I grabbed maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah. Milky and you were bars, so furious.
And it was just like, child, cow, child, child, child. No Milky Bar Kid. And at 6 o'clock. There was one sitting there left on the top, and I was like, that looks like the Milky Bar.
That looks like Kevin Rudd.
And I didn't
there he is.
And I didn't want you, like, you put in so much work, and I didn't fear, I felt.
This morning when I was on hold, you didn't bother telling me.
That's why I walked away. I felt so bad. Because I was getting bad to tell you, and they were like, hello, Milky Bar. I was like, oh, no.
And so I'm sitting there explaining to this poor woman who's probably thinking, who is this maniac?
My friend can't find the Milky Bar Kid. So, it never went anywhere.
He's there.
Delicious.
So for those worried, what happened to the Milky Bar kid?
He's fine.
He's fine. He's all fine. He's great.
Sorry. I should have looked harder. I'm just, it's nice to see you inspired.
Inspired?
Why do I have to be the person that inspires you? If everyone's got their own version of a Milky Bar sure. kid out there.
You didn't inspire me. You demanded I do work.
I did. But thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Can I have that one too?
No, absolutely not. Okay. This one's for me.
Fair enough. Good job. A little more detail would have been great.
Yeah.
Okay, Ross. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Had something happen this morning.
Okay.
Just want to know. Okay. So I was driving. Yeah. And I was at the traffic lights, like Gazipaul Road. You know, you want to go anywhere in Geelong. Just jump on Gazipaul. It'll take you where you need to go. And I was driving, and as I was at the red light, there was a bee at the front of my car.
Oh.
Just buzzing.
Inside or outside?
Out the front.
Yeah.
So it's like landed on the bull bar.
Yeah.
And then it's what it's done is that, like, you know the like where your bonnet is? Like, you know how it's got those little gaps along the side?
Yep.
The bee went into my bonnet.
You had a bee in your bonnet?
Yeah. Is there something in that?
What do you mean?
Is there something?
What do you mean?
Is there something there?
What's the origin of having a bee in your bonnet?
Because it can't be a literal bee in the bonnet of your car.
No, but I think having a bee in your bonnet might refer to like
the
hat bonnet.
See, I was like, here's my thinking, right? So I'm going, there's a bee in my bonnet. And if someone said to you normally, oh, you look like you've got your bee in a bonnet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't often think of a car.
I'm just proud that you've managed to get that saying correct.
Yeah, I haven't got a good track record. and then I was like, is a bonnet a hat or a dress? Because my mind, I was like, oh, is it that dress that's like got wood on the inside? And it was like...
Oh, like the hoop skirt.
Yeah, the hoop skirt.
Yeah.
I was like, is that a bonnet? Is a hat a bonnet? But now that I'm saying it, like Easter bonnet,
yeah,
that's a hat.
It's a hat.
So can you... I like finding these things, and I know that I haven't given you any prep time, but I need you to find... I just need you to completely clarify for me and for anyone listening. Bee in my bonnet, it's not about a car, right?
Having a bee in your bonnet... It originates from the 16th century, so they didn't have cars back then.
They had wheels.
They did have wheels. To have a bee in your bonnet means to be obsessed or preoccupied with an idea, often one that's a bit unusual or persistent.
Really? No, that's not how it's used, though.
It usually implies that the person keeps returning to the same topic.
I thought bee in a bonnet, it's like, say if you were just acting all sooky, I'd be like, well, you got a bee in your bonnet.
Yeah, because you're repeating the same thing over and over again. You're fixated on the idea. The idea behind the phrase is quite vivid. Imagine a bee trapped inside a bonnet, a type of hat, buzzing madly around your head. That's why you've got a bee in your bonnet.
Anything to do with like the bonnet of a car that you've missed out there? Anything? I'm just looking to see what you've...
Does this have anything to do...
With a car.
With a car bonnet.
Are you asking ChatGPT?
Yes, I am. ChatGPT is my best friend. no. The phrase, a bee in your bonnet has nothing to do with a car bonnet.
Because I've never had a bee in my bonnet before physically. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this isn't as bad as what everyone makes out to be.
ChatGPT doubles down. The idiom predates cars by a few hundred years.
Okay, all right. No need to rub it in, AI. So.
Long before the invention of the automobile.
All right. Okay, well, I think there's a new perspective now.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh. Are you okay? Like, that's my... Oh, there's a bee in your bonnet. I'm checking in on you because that's... Get out of there, little fella. It's going to be hot in there. You're just a bee.
You try and launch that.
I'll get it up and running. Okay. Don't you worry.
Is the bee still in your bonnet?
I don't know. I haven't checked. I'm worried. This is why I'm worried. This is why I need you to clarify for me if it was okay or not. This is
Tim and Jess. A couple of days ago now, we announced my pregnancy here on this radio show, Tim.
Yeah.
You looked at me just then like, what are you saying?
Oh, I forgot. quickly, how close beforehand, because your 15 weeks are long now,
mm-hmm.
Was there any moments, I can't remember anything. I know in the lead up to Mother's Day, you were like, I'd love to get it off my chest because I feel like I'm going to
chime
in.
There's been a few times that I've nearly dropped it in because I'm really bad at keeping secrets.
Terrible at it.
This is like the biggest one to keep. But thankfully, I told you around week 5, so you've known for a while now. But while you were away over that Easter kind of break, we had our 12-week scan. And I've been dying to show you this video from our 12-week scan if you want to see it.
Sure. I mean, I'll do my best to describe what I'm seeing.
I fear that my child is already funnier than me.
I mean, without sounding rude, it's a low bar. Yeah. Low bar, yeah. So sure.
If you ask my husband, he's the funny one in the family. Okay. But I think I'm the funny one. Okay. And now I think we've both been outdone by our child.
All right, sure. And you're having a little boy. You told
having
us
a little boy.
Well.
So we did the ultrasound and the ultrasound tech was like, do you guys know what the gender is? And we're like, yep, we know we're having a little boy. Like, do you tell us though? What can you
confirm?
See?
Yeah.
And she was like, yep, there's his little region.
You can say penis because it is a body part, Jess.
She pointed it out to us.
Even if you have to say vagina, you're allowed to say that too.
She pointed it out to us on the little screen. It was very cute. And I said, oh my God, look how little it is. My husband said, I think it's perfectly proportional, yeah. Actually. And so then we got to a part of the ultrasound that kind of caught us off guard. And I've snippeted this little video. My husband, obviously, very proud dad, was filming the entire ultrasound.
Lovely.
So if you just hit play and just describe what you're seeing.
All right. So it's standard. So it's kind of, I've got like a profile.
Mm-hmm.
It's wriggling around. You know, he's little.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's looking at us. Oh.
Yep.
Well,
at that point, the ultrasound tech said, oh, look, he's turning to face us.
Yeah.
And we went, oh, my God, this is so exciting. We're going to see his little face. And it was the demon child staring.
No, it's just, that's just his brain and his eyes. I know that it's not what you expect, but that's what's happening in
there. Oh, my God. It's and she was happening. Like, look at your beautiful baby boy. And I was like, are we looking at the same screen, lady?
That's just, yeah, I know, but that's how powerful the machines are. It sees through something.
Oh, my God. His little eyelids aren't even open yet, and his eyeballs were just staring through my soul.
So you're handling it well. Isn't it just you to ruin such a special moment? Oh, devil baby.
Okay.
What's this devil baby in my belly doing?
When your son Jack was still in the womb and you guys got those 3D pictures, tell me you didn't bring this in to me and say, oh, my God. Look at our little alien.
Little goopy alien. Yeah, but the thing is, as well, I figured out a hack because if you ever had one of the ones where it is a bit 3D and you can kind of see what's going on in there, because it's like you choose of any color, they choose these colors. It's like a pinky orange, like to replicate skin. If you put it in black and white, it makes it so much more watchable. Yeah. I think it's the colorization that makes it seem
I'm so
bizarre.
Glad that this wasn't in color because... I fear that it like.
Do you want me to do a sound of what I think that still that you've just showed me, and maybe we'll put it up on the Instagram story if you're comfortable.
Yeah.
But this is the sound that I think it looks like. If you didn't know it was a beautiful baby boy in your belly during your ultrasound, something along the lines of like something like that. I could be missing it, but maybe
I've been sending just random like screenshots of it to my husband.
Don't do that.
And then doing little voice notes. It's like, Daddy, I love you.
Why is it the lamb from The Simpsons that's about to be slaughtered? That's your child.
And already a comedian. All hilarious. Right.
See,
he's going to be such a great radio
announcer.
You're confused.
Just because he looks funny doesn't mean he's going to be funny. You should know that of all people.
Tim and Jess.
There's been a couple of big shows up the highway in Melbourne over the last few nights. The Offspring have been playing gigs. We gave away some tickets for people to go.
Yep.
Also on the bill, Jess.
Tim, the Offspring were really secondary for you. You thought that Offspring should be opening for this band.
Yeah, they closed for this band. It was Simple Plan. Joining us now over Zoom is one of the guitarists from the band, Sebastian. Seb, thank you so much for coming by the Tim and Jess show here in Geelong. I was there on Wednesday night. Incredible. It must be so great. I know you've come to Australia so many times, but you keep coming back.
I know we keep coming back, and thanks for all the nice things you said, and thanks for coming to the show. I mean, we love coming to Australia. We were here last year, and now to be in main support for Offspring is absolutely phenomenal. They're a great band, and we're just happy to be here. And yes, the shows are amazing, and the Australian crowd never disappoints.
You've done a couple of shows with the Offspring now. What is it like backstage? Is it as wild as I imagine, or are you guys backstage sipping cups of tea? Like, how's it look?
Well, here's the thing. We're all a little bit older than we were. So, but we toured Canada with them. We toured America with them. We did Japan right before coming here. I mean, so they're great. They're super nice. there's not a lot of partying, if that's what you were imagining, but there's just good people being nice to each other and watching each other's set and just being in total awe that every time they get on stage, it's hit after hit after hit. And that just blows my mind. I love them.
Well, Dexter said some incredibly nice things, the lead singer of Offspring, about you guys every show, I'm sure. They're sticking around, getting in early, watching you guys stick around and watch them. Can I just say, Pierre, the lead singer of your band, he sounds pretty much exactly the same as he did when, you know, Perfect was coming out, when you were together in the early 2000s. I was blown away, and a lot of people, where I was at least, on Wednesday night, were saying the exact same thing. That's crazy.
It is crazy. He's quite amazing. It's his birthday. He's quite excellent. I mean, it's an interesting thing to sort of tour almost as much now as we ever have, and so we're kind of like on top of our game. I like to think that our show now is as good as it's ever been, so thank you for the compliment. I'll relay that to him.
Did you ever expect the band, I mean, you know, you go into this, you start a band, you know, 20 years ago, and you have so much success in those younger days. Did you ever expect the impact to continue like it has? Like, Tim has been talking about how much he was going to cry at that show on Wednesday night for so long. Like, you have these diehard fans. Like, has it sunk in yet that this is continuing?
It does and it doesn't. I don't know that it's something you ever expect, you know. The first time I actually, and this is going to be a funny full circle thing, but the first time I met the Offspring for real, like met them, was when we did Warped Tour Australia with them back in 2011 to 2012, I think. And back then, I believe they were on their sort of 25 years since Smash, right? And now we've been a band for 25 years. So like, it's sort of now just sinking in that we are where they were, and I admired that about them, and now we're here, and I'm kind of like, okay, I kind of see how people can look at us that way, because I've looked at bands that way now. So like, I mean, the whole thing's just sort of a blur, and there's too many feelings to describe, but I think it's a beautiful thing to still be here, period.
It's incredible. It didn't realize me until just this moment, Seb. I had a poster of you in my bedroom. I have multiple posters of you in my bedroom growing up, and now seeing you here. I know. Yeah, but like, for a lot of people like me, like, I'm in my early 30s. Like, when especially your album Still Not Getting Any Better came out, that was the first album that like I heard, and it spoke to me. And I feel like, in particular, I could be so wrong here, but for young men and young boys, I feel like this was a really critical time in music. The type of music you guys were making, and those confusing feelings. I imagine you have a lot of people like me, full-grown men, that are now coming to you in tears going, you meant so much to me, and you still do now.
Now you're the only one. Yeah, I mean, it does happen. It definitely happens. And I get it. I mean, there are bands that have been that band for me. It's always interesting to put on that hat for people that kind of just do what they do, you know, and to mean that much just to people you've never met. You know, like, it's, but that's the power of music, and that's how that works. And it's a great thing to be part of this band, and to have this band be so important to so many people around the world. It's hard to explain or describe, but we feel lucky, and we're just very happy to be here. Very grateful.
Well, Seb, I think, speaking of having a lot of feelings,
today's a big day.
I think someone's been reading my dream journal, because today you guys are releasing a new song with Avril Lavigne and Simple Plan. I swear I nearly had a heart attack when I heard this was coming.
It's called Young and
Sorry.
Dumb. We've got a snippet of it just here. We're going to have play really quickly. Now, Avril kind of got big around the same time as you, you guys as well. Is this the first time you've worked together? We were trying to look back to find it, or is this like just like 25 years in the making?
Yeah, so 2002, when she obviously came out of the gate, blew up, and we were main support on her very first tour, the Tried to Shut Me Up tour. Canada, America, I said, oh, around the world as well. I keep forgetting how much we toured with them, with her. It was amazing. So now, last summer, we went back on tour with her. We're like, oh my God, full circle moment. This is so great. Obviously, thank you so much for having us, you know, play in front of your fans every night. This is great. And then one night, she tosses like, yeah, we should have a song together. We're like, yes, we should. I think a lot of people would be very happy that this finally happens, you know?
Present.
And it took many months before we actually got into the studio. I know. And then we finally did it. And then this is funny because I love the song. I think it came out great. It's such a fun song. But it's not lost on me that maybe a lot of people have been wishing for this for a long time. And now that it's finally happening, I know Australia is very important to us, but like especially in Canada, you know, like mm-hmm. it's got, oh my God, this is going to be awesome. So
the Captain Planet of punk music.
The song's out now. And exactly. So, I mean, here we are. The song's out. It's really cool. Super happy that people get to hear it. And we've been sitting on this for weeks and weeks now, and it's been very hard. So we're happy it's out.
I don't think we're going to play any other song on K-Rock from now on, Tim. I think it's just going to be our loop.
Seb, incredible performance over the last couple of nights up in Melbourne with The Offspring. Personally, yourself, you were absolutely still moving around like you were 25 years ago. The energy, I can see you love it. And personally, this has been a really special chat for me. Like I said, like you and your bandmates were on my wall when I was a kid. I tried to go to your show when I was 12 years old. I think the getaway plan would... opening for you, and I got knocked out and I didn't get to see you. So this has been 20 years in the making for me. Wednesday was super special.
What?
Personally, thank you so much. It was a very emotional night, and this has been really, really,
really
special.
Nice of you to put on a show for Tim. That was really...
my pleasure, Tim. You're the only one, once again. Thank you so much. I'm glad you got to see the show, and we'll come back to Australia as soon as we can, as always.
Absolutely. Seb, one of the guitarists from Simple Plan. Incredible couple of nights. Thank you so much for coming by the Tim and Jess Show.
Thanks for having me.
Come on! Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best!
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess Podcast.